Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like a notion that won't seem to let me go. When I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything all
good evening and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. I'll let Bob tell you all about our special guest tonight, but if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 1-888-815-9756, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob. How about telling us what you have planned for tonight's show?
Well, it's just a little bit of a departure from our regular shows. You know, we're always interviewing, you know, authors and researchers and scientists and medical doctors and so forth, and I thought it would be a good idea just to talk to so-called real people. So we're encouraging people, members of the foundation, radio listeners, to call in. And we'd like to talk about not so much your personal loss, although that certainly enters into it, but your journey, so to speak. You know, did you believe in an afterlife before you sustained the loss? What have you done since? Has what you have found out helped you along the way? If it has, what are the types of evidence that you find to be beneficial, and things of that nature? So, you know, we'll be taking your calls throughout the show, and we'd love to hear from you. And as Fran mentioned, the number here is 1-888-815-9756. Before we do that, I see you have a little news clipping on your desk.
I love news clippings, especially when they are about dead candidates that are still on the ballot. Caught my eye, and I thought I'd read it, and it turns out that, unfortunately, there's a mayor of a local village here on Long Island in New York. He was 65 years old, a young man. And he died. They say he died of natural causes. The problem was that the village elections, in New York anyway, the village elections are always on June 21st. So his papers were filed, and he's on the ballot, and the election has to go through. It's not contested. The more interesting thing, though, is that nobody's running against him. So now what?
Yeah. You know, it's not the first time I've heard of that. You know, it seems like that story pops up every 4 years, you know, where there's an unfortunate, you know, death from somebody that's running for office. To pay homage or for whatever reason, lots of times they wind up winning the election, even when they are, you know, opposed.
Right, except that he was going to win anyway,
yeah.
And there's nobody running against him. So it's not even like, okay, so the second person takes over the seat of the mayor.
Right. Well, I just in that other situation, you just imagine the guy that runs against the person that's deceased, you know, and loses, you know, I could imagine what he's hearing. You couldn't even beat a dead person, you know. It's
like, well, see, my thoughts were totally different. When I was reading this, I'm saying, wow, let him serve. Who better to run that village than somebody from the other side?
Well, why don't you contact that village and suggest that and report back to us?
I'll try.
Did you catch the, well, I know you did because you watched it with me, when I say you, I mean people out there that are listening, there was a special on last night on
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, I'm glad somebody brought it to our attention because Morgan Freeman hosts a regular show on the Science Channel and has all sorts of interesting topics, and last night's hour show was Is There an Afterlife, I believe it was termed, right?
Yeah.
What Happens After Death or something like that.
What Happens After We Die?
Yeah, What Happens After We Die. And it was a pretty well-balanced, I thought. You know, they had our friend Dr. Bruce Grayson, you know.
I think what was really cool was he walked you through it logically, really logically.
Yeah.
You know, from here's the question, here are people that are dying, where do they go? You know, and then he started to bring in all the things that people normally ask.
I liked that there was a neurosurgeon, I believe, you know, from Harvard. I believe his name was Dr. Alexander. I didn't take notes, and I'll have that, but I believe that was his name. He went on to describe very, very significant experience where he had meningitis, was it?
Right, meningitis.
And they told him that, you know, basically his life was over. He looked at the scans of the x-rays, and there was, you know, nothing, no activity going on, basically. And
it ate away. He described it. It was a wonderful presentation he did, because he showed his own brain scans that they were taking as the meningitis progressed, and how it deteriorated the part of the brain that allows us to be who we are, and that was completely gone.
Right, and he has this extraordinary near-death experience where he does travel to other realms, and he does meet, deceased entities, and he's told, to go back, and if he goes back, he will be, he's not going back to a diseased body, he'll be going back to a healthy body, and lo and behold, when he's resuscitated, they look at his scans again.
And they say, it's a mirror.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another example of a man of science, a medical doctor who I don't know what his beliefs were before, but I know what his beliefs
are. Right, but I think what we're seeing this, and this maybe is the universe trying to say, hey, guys, wake up, because we're seeing this more and more often where people who are in the professions that would help the science along in proving that there's an afterlife are now becoming inflicted themselves and recovering from it, and then having a hard time trying to explain it the way they would have normally explained it away.
You think there's a plan? These are emissaries. These are ambassadors, right?
Right. This is part of the shift.
Right. Hey, well, let's go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to have our calls, we hope, from people calling in about their experiences and what they've discovered. So stay with us, and we will be back in 3 minutes.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.winbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Bob?
And we have Dave Jesperson. Dave, are you with us?
Yeah, Bob and Fran.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to speak with you, Dave. You know, this was a show that we wanted to do for a while, and we'd like to talk to not necessarily, a medical doctor or a PhD, but a foundation member or a radio listener, and talk about your journey, and I guess a good place to start would be did you suffer the loss of a loved one? I assume that you did, but tell us a little bit about what happened.
Yes, it's been almost 5 years since our son was died in a vehicle accident, pickup truck accident. And it was shortly after that I started to ask the big questions about survival, or what happens when we die. You know, what are we? What's the nature of reality? That's what kind of came later. But I think overall, people really have made the difference. The people that were directly supporting us initially, of course, family, friends, neighbors. And then all the people that I've found in pursuing these big questions, doing a lot of work that really supports that something survives, and there's so much to look at.
Dave, before you suffered the ultimate tragedy there, did you contemplate the possibility of life after death? Was that something that you ever thought about? I mean, would you consider yourself a spiritual person, or were you more of a following the materialist tradition?
Well, I was actually brought up in a religious, family, and so I had that reference point of a belief in God and an afterlife. But, I was raising questions as I got older. And so I wasn't on any kind of spiritual path, so to speak. I was just going about, living and not had no ideas about all this, all the research and all of the views from a philosophical standpoint, other than, you know, the religion I was raised with.
Mm. Well, you know, one thing that we noticed is that from talking to many, many people over the years that had a religious upbringing and had a religious type of a lifestyle, a lot of them mentioned that they felt let down, so to speak, you know, as if they believed in God, but God didn't keep up their end of the bargain, you know, and that's so that, you know, it sometimes religion seems to work both ways, you know. I don't know if you were caught up in that. I know that in my own case, I mean, I kept trying to figure out if there was a reason, you know, and you go from place to place and you want to know, is it random or is it purposeful? And I'm sure you must have battled with those two possibilities.
Well, I had I kind of lost my train of thought here. The it was more, I was more just wanting information. I would want to know where my son was, and you know, what's his existence like. Of course, then I realized, you know, we can communicate. But I just wanted details. Religion, just, I hadn't continued as a real regular churchgoer or be involved in any kind of study of, you know, the religion the church provides in any recent years. But I don't think that would have done it. I needed details, and I had a little bent toward liking science and you know, natural history and so forth. So, and human behavior, all that. So I just needed to have more information.
Yeah. So where did you start? I mean, you know, like you say, that, I mean, this information. I know that I certainly didn't know anything about mediums or near-death experiences and you know, out-of-bodies, and I knew very little about, you know, consciousness. So did you read? Did you start, you know, buying books?
Well, there were actually three points that got me started on this. All this I've done in the 4.5 years of learning so much. One, at some point in early, our son died in 2006, middle of the year, and at some point in early 2007, real early, I learned about the Forever Family Foundation. So I started listening, and I found a few other websites and started listening to their shows also, and then I've downloaded podcasts. So I learned about I learned about mediums. The other thing that happened maybe just a couple months earlier at work, there was somebody who I would work closely with, was still working closely with, approached me and said, I have a message from your son. Now, of course, I was, okay, well, you know, I'll listen to it, but it was not something I could just buy into. And it turns out he had mediumship abilities. He'd gone, and actually one of the other coworkers together, they'd gone to a remote viewing class.
Uh-huh.
And he'd even gone to the Monroe Institute, and he'd since has gone to a lot of the Monroe Institute sessions. So he said, he got me started with a book on remote viewing. And from there I started just reading, yeah. Dean Radin and all the rest. But the third way was the grief, the counseling, with a therapist that my wife and I went to. She was very open. Well, that was later as the years went by. We continued in therapy. But what she pointed to us, she pointed us directly, or initially, along with going to her once a week, to the Jenna Druck Foundation. Now it's called the Jenna Druck Center, in San Diego, where the half of their organization is dedicated to grief support. And there, at that point, I wanted to find a medium. I wanted to really go. You know, I'd listened enough, read a little bit, but I just didn't believe. I mean, I doubted that I would find somebody. I just didn't know anybody that had been to medium other than probably what I was hearing on your show.
Yeah.
But nobody personally. So I asked the group leader, and sure enough, well, she'd been to a medium, and several others had. And so they pointed me to somebody, and my wife and I went. And from there on, I mean, we went to several mediums during 2007. But it was definitely I was definitely realizing something entirely new. And it was quite amazing. Still kind of unbelievable, you know. I tend to stay a little skeptical, but after this much, I'm pretty convinced there's something going on there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, I know that you've read a lot and you've listened to many, many different researchers and scientists and so forth. And I think what happens is that you take a little piece from each one, and then, you know, eventually, you know, when you sit back and you look at the totality of all the evidence, it helps you a bit, you know, in formulating some ideas. But, you know, to you, I mean, what would you say? I mean, in your case, what do you think was more important? I mean, is it science, or is it faith, or is it a combination of the two?
Well, it's science. It's the evidence from all the work that's been done. At some point you somewhat realize, well, people of faith, and when they have a loss like this, it's easier if they can do that. But my brain doesn't work. My brain needs the information. I need to kind of lay it out all out, and I have to, I guess, have some rationale and in my own idea of rationale anyway. So
yeah, well, I certainly understand that. I think, you know, we're very much alike. I think though ultimately what really can push you over the edge, so to speak, into that knowing that there's survival is personal experience. You know, I mean, you can read and study and learn and talk just so much, but you know, personal experience seems to put people in a different perspective when it comes to survival. So, I mean, I know that you had some significant experiences, you know, with a medium. You know, have you or your wife have had any personal experiences directly?
Well, I can't say for sure. You know, some strange things did happen, including with the televisions, or a couple
yeah.
of televisions. You know, music was playing during a show, and it had nothing to do with the show. So I don't know. I even called the cable company and asked them, has that ever occurred before? But I didn't get a good answer. So,
right.
Well, but go ahead.
As you do you think, you know, for those that are grieving, you know, the loss of a loved one, do you think that it's easier? When I say easier, people are better able to cope with their new life. If they believe in an afterlife as opposed to those who don't?
Oh, certainly. I don't know how people could. I mean, as time goes on, how people could get through their grief, recover completely without that, although I'm sure some do, but as time goes on, you realize however it works, your loved one who's passed is okay, you know. And so it is the grief. I do want to get through this, or I want to get better. I won't get through it. So for me, I have to know, and I'm just going to keep on looking at it, you know, all the evidence and reading, and this has become a big hobby of mine, actually.
Yeah, it sort of takes over your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, but luckily it's not something that's burdening me at all. I'm just interested in it. I don't think everybody can do that. Just look at the science all the time and the philosophies and so forth. But I can, and so that works for me.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to find that. I mean, there are some people that, say, I don't know why you're interested in the science. It doesn't mean anything to me. I just have this inner knowing, and that's fine, you know. However you get there is fine. If you have this innate knowledge of another other dimensions or the way this life continuum works, I mean, and you don't need the science, I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
For me personally, I'm like you. I just want to keep seeing evidence. And you started. You mentioned remote viewing, and I also read a lot of books about remote viewing, and that sort of hit home because it transcends time and space, and we were taught that you really can't do that in this physical world, but remote viewing is proof that you can. So. It just shows that if your mind can travel and your mind can act independently of your physical brain, it's not so much of a stretch to believe that we survive our physical deaths, is it?
That's right. It's pretty profound to think. I mean, it kind of just soaked in with me recently how profound it is to think that consciousness probably doesn't emerge from matter and that it's probably the stuff of the universe or a process or something that we're all a part of, and it's fundamental. So mind and brain are just not the same thing.
Hmm. How about, do you also contemplate reincarnation? Have you looked, I mean, what are your thoughts on reincarnation?
I'd be fine with reincarnation. I mean, it's just, sounds plausible. I'm not necessarily leaning one way or the other, but it does. There is some of the talk in the science, certain scientists, along with the research that was done and still continues to get done in reincarnation studies, seems to indicate that does make sense.
Well, the evidence is certainly there. When I know that you've read, I'm sure, about Ian Stevenson's work, and now Jim Tucker, and it's hard to explain the way these memories that children have of past lives that are investigated. But there's evidence in any of these modalities that we study. It's just how much faith, so to speak, that you put in the evidence.
Yeah.
And again, I think that you found, as did I, that the totality of the evidence leads you to a conclusion that we do survive. So, what are you doing now? I mean, do you work regularly, or is this hobby now your full time job?
No, I still have a full time job.
Okay.
I actually work for the Navy, civil servant.
Okay.
And so it, and all that, that's helpful actually in when you're going through grief. But I have time. I actually download, about five of the podcasts a week, your show and others, and listen while I work out, So it's about 5 hours a week. But, the other thing that's really helped me is meeting folks like you and like we did at your first conference in San Francisco and the researchers, Dr. Julie Beischel and her work, meeting the people who I read about and whose studies I read about just gave me a lot more comfort in the whole thing too. And then, like you say, running the gamut with all the different areas that kind of point to survival.
Well, I absolutely agree. I mean, you and I are very much alike. Fran, you look like you wanted to say.
I, I'm listening to this intently because it's just such fabulous information for particularly our listeners. But there's another half to Dave. There's his wife, and you've mentioned her briefly, but can we just get a little insight into, was she on the same page as you? Did she lean on you for the information you were bringing back to the house? Or did she have some inner knowing of her own that helped her get through it?
That's a good question, Fran. My wife and I are different in our way our brains work, so she's not into the research, and she's actually probably, I think it would benefit her. That's what I can say. But she is more of a sensitive person, but yet she hasn't had the direct experiences, at least since our son died. So she hasn't benefited from it. I can't say what helps, sometimes you got to get out, be with people, and be trying different things. I think that's the key. If this doesn't work for her, got to keep trying. And we did a lot together, but she didn't rely on my bringing home. Well, she went to the mediums, a few of them with me, of course, and that was real important to her. And there's always just more to do.
Yeah, I believe I remember she came to the conference as well in 2006.
That's right.
Right. So,
she actually ended up
points out. I mean, Fran has a good point. I mean, very often husband and wife really go divergent paths. You're not always. I know Fran and I are completely opposite in the way we think of things, but.
And I think many of the couples we come across are at opposite ends of this belief, not belief system, science versus spirituality. I think it's a common thread.
Yeah. So in our situation, Dave, I had a different dynamic, is that I never had any personal experiences, but Fran did, so that was, she was my lifeline with the experiences, so to speak.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Yeah, so that, that was very helpful to me, but... I really appreciate you taking the time and speaking with us. I enjoyed it. I think a lot of the listeners can relate to, this path that you're on now. I think it's clear, as you said, it's not something that you do get over. It's something that you just learn how to cope with this new life that was thrust upon you. And I would imagine, if we do truly believe that... we're going to see our loved ones again, it sure makes living our physical lives a lot easier.
I agree, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
And thanks.
Oh, thank
and
you.
We'll talk to you soon, so take care, Dave.
All right. Take
care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was some really wonderful, wonderful information there.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that you... We wanted to acknowledge the volunteers.
Yeah, this week we're celebrating the volunteers at Forever Family Foundation, and because there's way too many for us to appreciate them live on the radio show here, we're going to be personally thanking each of them at our annual Volunteer Appreciation Garden Party that we have every year, and that's going to be this weekend. So tonight I just want to, for the whole world to hear, a big thank you to everyone who played a part this year in reaching out to help more people to understand that our loved ones are just a heartbeat away. So thank you to all of our volunteers.
Yeah. I know while you're talking about volunteers, as you know, I mean, the foundation puts on various different demonstrations and lectures and conferences and so forth. And, it's as an all-volunteer organization, it's not easy to do. So we get a lot of inquiries about people in different areas, and they want to know why we haven't had a foundation event yet in their area. And it's not because we don't know you're out there, but the event takes a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, and volunteers that are committed to do the work. So if you're interested in bringing you know, a part of the work to your area, just send us an email. You can do that at director@foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or you can always call the office at 631-425-7707, and we'd love to talk to you.
And let's talk about it.
And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue with calls talking about real listeners. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, this show is sponsored by the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. We want to remind you that if you need a Visa credit card, please go to the Forever Family Foundation website and apply for the credit card there. We will get a donation for each credit card anybody applies for. Plus, every time you use it, a donation from visa will be made to the foundation to help keep our programs up and running. And while you have that card, you can shop on Amazon.com, again, using the link on our website, and Amazon will make a donation without you spending any more money. And if you don't find what you want on Amazon.com, go to iGive.com, select Forever Family Foundation as your charity of choice, and shop in their over 900 stores online for what you're looking for. And iGive.com will also make a donation to Forever Family Foundation to support our programming without you having to spend another dime while you're shopping. Also, we have our Holidays Past raffle is up and running with five chances to win a one-hour medium reading. Support our work with a $5 chance or even more in multiples. Visit our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org for more information on entering the raffle, or mail in your check to Forever Family Foundation at 222 Atlantic Avenue, Oceanside, New York, 11572. Our annual conference is going to be up and running on the Internet probably by tomorrow. It is their Chocolate in the Afterlife, and it features a Friday night fundraiser, Night of Mediums, that is set for November 11th. That's 11-11-11. Our mediums in attendance are telling us that's a very spiritual night, so you do want to be there for Night of Mediums. It's at the Sheraton Long Island Hotel in Hop-Hop, New York. We have early bird pricing and special group rate hotel rooms. This is a limited seating conference and fundraiser, so book early to avoid disappointment. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org for more information. And just as an update, coming up in December, we have four Holidays Past events. We have Connecticut, we have New York, we have New Jersey, and we have Massachusetts. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Bob.
All right. And we're back, and we are talking with real people, talking about their stories. And we have another caller on the line.
We have Marianne.
Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Bob. How are you? Hi, Fran.
Hello, Marianne.
Hello.
Well, as I mentioned before, what we're doing is we're talking to real people. Last I checked, you are a real person, right?
I think so.
And, you know, basically we wanted to see not only how are you doing now, but how you got there. And I guess the place to start would be just telling us, you know, who you had suffered the loss of losing. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. In 2007, our daughter Jessie passed away, and she was almost 16 years old. It was a very sudden thing. She passed from the flu, and that's ask me another question, Bob.
that's plenty of information, and we know how hard it is to talk about these things. But when the thing that we're interested in, in addition to many other things, is that before your loss, did you guys ever talk about the afterlife, you and your husband or with your daughter? Is that something that you ever thought about?
We really never spoke about it together. I always knew there was something there. Joe is very intuitive. I'm not sure about Jesse, but I know that we know there's something there now.
Right.
Most
and
definitely.
What path? I mean, obviously, you know, after, you know, the shock doesn't enable you to do anything for a while, but when you're able to navigate your life a little bit, I mean, what kind of path did you and Joe take? I mean, did you do a lot of reading? What was your daily routine like?
Well, first I want to start off by just, I'll tell you some of the experiences we had when Jesse was in the hospital. And this is what really led us to believe that there is definitely something after. She was in the hospital and in intensive care, in a coma. Joe and I were with her by her side every moment. We did get a little relief by one night we went down to get something to eat, and we were walking down the hallway of the hospital, and we were holding hands, and both of us just had this feeling that Jesse was going to be okay, everything was going to be okay. And we turned to each other the same time and said, everything's going to be fine. So we went back upstairs, and her heart stopped. So at that moment we knew that they revived her. After 2 days, she was still in a coma. We felt her leave her body. We both knew that it was time, and we both got chills again, and we knew then that she had left her body. That led us to do some seeking on our own, and we had gone to a medium her name was given to us by a friend that who has unfortunately also lost a child. So we went to her, and she wasn't as you say, she did a cold reading. Joe wasn't satisfied, so he looked up the foundation and got the foundation off the internet and did some more research. And our first event with the foundation was how to listen when your children speak, and with Laura Lynn Jackson. And that event really got us involved with the foundation.
Marianne, it's something that I always fear. Now, your first experience, with a medium was not good, because there was no evidence that was being presented. Did you walk out of there feeling worse than before? I mean, that's my biggest fear, is that if people go to a medium, and whether the medium's not evidential or for whatever reason there's no information or connection being made, that they walk away believing that there isn't an afterlife. So, but from what you're saying, that just spurred you on to see another one.
Well, because I wanted everything to be true, so I found reasons to make it fit, and
yeah.
Joe didn't.
Oh, I see. So you thought the medium, you had a different opinion of the medium than Joe did.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, okay. That's understandable.
But Joe was willing to go the extra mile and find something that was going to give him the evidence and now show Marianne a different way to look at it.
So yes. How about you? I mean, do you think that you're in a better place now than you would have been if you never investigated or learned about any of this evidence that we survive?
Most definitely. Now I feel that I give some strength to other parents or other folks who have lost someone close to them. Being a volunteer has helped me with that, and Joe as well. We love being a part of the foundation, and we love being able to talk with people and let them know that they're not the only ones, and knowing that we have, I hate the word moved on, but we are still living.
I bet early on, in the first year, you never thought in your wildest dreams that you'd be helping other people in your situation, did you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Kind of amazing. And I know that you have different priorities, now than you did before, and we all change. I wish that we had more time to talk about this this little journey that you've been on, because I know that you've investigated. We had on a caller before, and the husband was a lot different than the wife in the fact that he was very interested in the science and evidence part of it, more so than his wife. And I sense that it's the kind of the same situation in your marriage.
Yes, definitely. Joe is very much interested about the science.
And, it's not always the case that way, but it seems to work out a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Mary Ann. It's always
You're
nice
welcome.
To hear from you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, and that was very, very touching, particularly because we're pretty close to Mary Ann and Joe, and they do work very hard for the foundation. And
yes, and it's also it's very heartwarming to us because we see, you know, like the kind of shape that they were in before.
When they first came.
And now, as Mary Ann said, she does make a difference in other people's lives, and that's a wonderful thing.
And that's how we're all connected. So now we ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing upon Vicki Steffi, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo, and all the people in Japan who are still recovering from the tsunami. And now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was a prayer by Masuro Emoto back on May 9th, 2010, when we had the tragedy of the Gulf oil spill.
Hey, and remember that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.